transcribed from Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles. Just a kid, a bright-eyed little kid in a ragged shirt. It's Sunday, so Pop is home instead of at work. But Sundays aren't so good, because then he drinks, and when he comes home, he says bad things to you and Mom. You're walking along with Pop, taking home the Sunday paper, and you pass a square red brick building you've seen before but never noticed. Why, it sounds like there are kids inside, having an awfully good time. And you look at your Pop.
Say, Pop, listen to that. Sounds like they're having fun.
Now listen, kid. Don't go getting no ideas. I don't want you going near that place, see?
Why not, Pop?
I just don't want it, that's all. That kind of stuff ain't for us. We just ain't interested.
But, Pop, seems like they're awful happy.
Listen to me, Mike. If you ever come here, I'll tan your hide so you won't be able to sit down for a week.
Well, you walk along wondering what it is in that building that's so bad your Pop won't let you go inside. The kid sure sounded happy. You go home and, well, this Sunday is like every other Sunday. After a while, Pop goes out, and when he comes home, well, it isn't very nice at home. You slip out the front door, closing it gently behind you so it won't make any noise. You walk down that street again. Yes, there's the building. But it's all dark now, and there aren't any sounds coming out. No happy voices, no kids anywhere. And you make up your mind right then that you're coming back and find out what they're singing about. You come back Monday morning, but there's nobody around. You can't come Tuesday morning, 'cause Pop's home. But Tuesday afternoon you come back, and it's still quiet in the big red brick building. Wednesday morning, you come back again, about the same time, and there's nobody there. Wednesday night, your mother sends you to the store. You go down that same street, just in case. There are lights on. You can't hear any singing, but you see there are people there. You go up and peek through the window. But it's all grown folks. Where are all the children, you wonder? When you get home, your father seems suspicious and your heart pounds.
Where you been, kid?
Mom sent me to the store.
Okay, don't get into mischief now.
And he really doesn't care. He falls asleep again. Thursday morning, you go by again. And there's a little old man with a broom out on the front steps of the red brick building. You catch your breath, and you start to walk a little faster. Maybe he'll know about the children that sing here.
What you doing, son?
Oh, just walking.
Weren't looking for anybody, were you?
Nope. Where are the kids?
Oh, what kids do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. There were some kids here the other day.
Oh, you mean Sunday school.
Sunday school? What's that? Ain't no school on Sunday.
Why, yes, there is. On Sunday, the boys and girls come here to Sunday school. That's where they sing songs and hear Bible stories and learn about Jesus.
Yep, they were singing all right. So it's on Sundays, eh?
That's right.
Can just anybody come?
Well, surely. Why don't you come next Sunday?
Yeah, maybe I will.
So it's Sunday. You walk along, kicking a can, and you make up your mind that no matter what happens, you're coming back on Sunday. You'll find out what makes these kids sound so happy. All day Thursday, you have a good feeling inside, and all day Friday. On Saturday, you begin to get excited. You think, it's tomorrow. Oh, you're scared to death Pop will find out. Seems like he'd know you were excited about something. What if he kept you from going? But Sunday finally comes, and you go down that same street to the red brick building. You're a little breathless as you come up the steps. Yes, it's the right day, all right, because the kids are singing. There's a door open, a basement door. Now, if you can just slip in. Willikers, you think, what a bunch of kids. And suddenly you realize there's a nice lady up in front, and she's looking at you, right through you. Oh, your heart comes up in your mouth, and then she says,
"Hello there."
You don't know what to say, but you finally manage a grin and,
"Hello.
There's a red chair over there for you. We're singing one of our favorite songs. Do you like it?"
"Yes'm."
"What's your name?"
"Mike."
"Fine. We're glad to have you, Mike."
It's all new to you, but you sort of like it. But Jesus, who is this Jesus who loves the children in this room? Jesus. It's a pretty name. In your heart, you know nobody has ever really loved you. Oh, maybe Mom does, but she's so busy all the time and so sad. And you know your Pop doesn't love you. These kids, well, they look like somebody loves them. And then you think, maybe if you stay with these boys and girls, he'll love you too. And just thinking about it makes you feel all warm inside. After the other children have gone, you get a chance to speak to the teacher alone.
"Please, ma'am, who's Jesus, the one that loves them?"
"Why, don't you know about Jesus, Mike?"
"No'm. I guess he's never been on our street. Leastways, he doesn't know us at my house."
"Oh, yes, he does, Mike. Why, he loves everybody."
Oh, no, ma'am. Nobody loves me."
"Why, Mike, of course they do. There's your mother and your father."
"I don't think so, miss."
"Well, anyway, Mike, Jesus loves you. He said he did."
"Me? He said he loved me?"
"That's right. He loves everybody in the whole world. You see, Mike, that's what it says in the Bible, and that's what we come here to Sunday school to study. This book, called the Bible, it's God's Word. See right here, Mike, it says, 'Unto him that loved us,' that's Jesus, 'washed us from our sins in his own blood.' He loved us, all of us, Mike, so much that he died on a cross for us. He died, he shed his blood for us."
"Say, that's an awful lot to love a person."
"You're right, Mike. He loves us an awful lot. In fact, he loves us better than anybody else in the world. There isn't any greater love than the love of Jesus for us. It says here in the Bible, 'Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.'"
And when you leave that building, you know now it's a church. Everything's different. Deep down inside, there's a quietness, and you're happy, happy all over. You whistle as you walk home. Jesus loves you. He's loved you all the time, and you didn't even know it. He loved you even enough to die for you. About that time, you feel something's wrong. You look up. There's your dad, and he's drunk, awfully drunk.
"Hey there, kid. What you doing out here?"
Nothing."
"You've been in that place, haven't you? I heard you whistling. Been in that place I told you not to go to."
"Listen, Pop, you've got them all wrong. They aren't bad. Those people in there are good."
I told you not to go there, didn't I?"
"Pop, listen. You just don't know. They told me about a man named Jesus who loves everybody. Why, Pop, he even loves you. That's what they said."
"Shut up! Don't ever say that name to me. I knew this would happen. Now be quiet and march."
And so you go home. Your father doesn't say a word, just pushes you along. And he won't even let you say a word. Finally, you're home. Up the steps. The door slams. Then you know what's going to happen. Your father is reaching for a stick of wood from the pile beneath the stove. And all of a sudden, he isn't your father anymore. He's a beast, a wild creature you don't even know. A machine that brings down a whirling stick on your aching back. Again, and again, and again. You try not to cry because it's for Jesus. Then you remember that Jesus loves you and he died for you. Pretty soon you don't even feel the blows. And that quietness deep down inside steals all over you.
And if I ever catch you there again, you can't even hear me.
You're one mass of pain. And you lie there for a while, hoping your stomach will settle back where it belongs. And then your mother comes in.
What? Mike, what are you doing over there?
You don't say anything, because you're so tired. And then anyway, you don't know what to say. Your mother sees your back, and she starts to cry.
Mike, there's blood on your shirt. Did your father... Oh, Mike, he's drunk. He didn't mean to do it. He really loves you, but he just didn't know what he was doing.
It's all right, Mom. Somebody does love me.
She lifts you in her arms and carries you to the bed. You, a great big boy.
There now, Mike. I'll take this off.
Oh, Mom, be careful. Oh, that hurt.
There now. It's off. Oh, Mike. Just lie still a moment. I'll wash your face and your back.
She walks away, and in a moment, you hear the water running. And you suddenly remember that verse the lady at Sunday school read about Jesus washing us from our sins in his blood. And you wish, oh, you wish you could do something for him. And then suddenly you think of the shirt.
Mom, the lady at the Sunday school told me about Jesus. She says he loves me, Mom, and he shed his blood for me. Let me keep the shirt. I want to show Jesus that I bled for him, too. Just a little bit.
Your mother insists on hearing the whole story about the children, the church, and your salvation. And soon she, too, asks Jesus to wash away her sins. Then you both make a pact to pray earnestly for Pop, that he too will have his sins washed in Jesus' blood.
If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Cast were Bob Pratt, Gladys Bazanson, Doris Harris, Bill Moose, Bud Bierman. Music and sound effects were handled by Millard Adams, Jim Robb, and Jim Martin. Recording engineer was Corbin Tabler. Today's script was written by Grace Rice McMullen and directed by Laura Pratt. This is Bob Birdsall. Miracles is a transcribed Bob Jones University production.